Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are going to be talking about part three of the Tesla owner Silicon Valley interview with Elon Musk, some very interesting new details coming out of that. We've also got a lot of confusion today about a shutdown for Giga Shanghai for upgrades. We'll clarify what's going on there. And we've also got two analyst updates and a couple of other items as well. All right, looking at the stock, what seemed like it was going to be a pretty exciting day this morning trailed off in the afternoon with Tesla closing down 0.4% to $708.26, NASDAQ ending down 0.2%. So by the end of it, a relatively uneventful day. All right, getting into the news, we'll start off with the part three interview of Elon Musk by Tesla owner Silicon Valley. I will put the link for this in the description. I would definitely recommend watching it. Lots of interesting stuff on Tesla, particularly on FSD, but we'll hit the highlights here. Starting off with something that caused a few headlines today, Elon's comments on Giga Berlin and Giga Texas. Now, remember the setting for this interview was at Giga Texas, and Elon for a second just kind of pausing and saying, oh, man, this factory is losing insane money right now. He acknowledged that they've had challenges with the 4680 ramp and with the structural pack ramp, so those things contributed to a slower ramp of production than what Tesla would have liked. And then on top of that, as we heard Tesla talk about on the last earnings call, they want to bring in tooling for 2170 production at Giga Texas 2, just like Berlin, but because of port shutdowns in China because of the COVID lockdowns, they haven't been able to get that tooling in from China to start ramping up production of those 2170 vehicles there in Texas as well. So one challenge after another, and then Elon choosing to really drive this point home by saying, quote, both Berlin and Austin factories are gigantic money furnaces right now, end quote. And then, quote, Berlin and Austin are losing billions of dollars right now, end quote. So yes, that does sound bad, and I do think that contributed to a little bit of the weakness in the stock this afternoon, but don't read too much into that. This is not unexpected. It's a very simple point that Elon is just trying to emphasize to make it clear. Until these factories get ramped up to volume production, yes, they've had billions of dollars poured into them and have returned none of that yet. So from a cash burn perspective, yeah, they're losing billions of dollars. Now, a lot of that is capitalized, so it's not like we're going to come in and see billions of dollars of loss for the second quarter or anything like that. It is a bit of a guessing game in terms of how impactful these ramps are on Tesla's gross margin, but not so much of a guessing game that it could cause them to drop into being unprofitable or anything like that. Elon is just taking the opportunity, as he often does, to emphasize how difficult these things are, exacerbated by some of the factors that Tesla has not had any control over, while also then highlighting what a big achievement it is once these things actually start to turn profitable. So that's my take on those comments. Again, if you just watch the interview, it helps put a lot of that in context. And Elon did note that, quote, now this is all going to get fixed real fast, but it requires a lot of attention, end quote. And he said it would take more effort to get Austin ramped up than it did to build Giga Texas in the first place. As for Berlin specifically, he did note that some of these challenges affected Berlin as well, but they didn't have to deal with the things like the 4680 ramp and the structural pack ramp, since they're starting with 2170s, as we know. As for more general production-related updates, he said that last year the chip shortage was quote-unquote so bad, then they went right into the COVID shutdowns with China, which he said people didn't fully appreciate how impactful those lockdowns were. I think we understand that better than most. Again, not just impacting what they could produce at Giga Shanghai, but also affecting production elsewhere. And then he did also note that the lockdowns were not quite done yet, by the way, that there was not yet a full green light, but this interview was 3 weeks ago, so that's a good reminder, and things have definitely changed quite a bit since then. Moving on to a couple of vehicle updates on the Cybertruck, Elon did say that the design is now finally locked, for sure, and as for the start of production, Elon said, quote, I think the middle of next year, roughly 12 months-ish, end quote. So since we have seen this slip a couple of times, it's nice to have that reaffirmation, especially after some of the comments Tesla has made on the 4680 ramp. Obviously, things could still change, but good to see that as we get closer in, and especially good news that the design is completely finalized. Elon also had a couple of interesting comments on the Model 3 and the Model Y. He was talking about the S and the X and their volume capping out at around 100,000. He said that the Model 3 and Y will do 2 million plus annual deliveries. That would be more than double the roughly 900,000 from last year. And then he added that they could probably do 3 to 4 million. If you look at Tesla's factory plans, it's pretty clear that they're looking for 2.5 million plus. So a number like that may sound surprising to many, but if you've followed Tesla closely, shouldn't really be too surprising. Of course, that's much more important than Giga Berlin and Giga Texas being quote-unquote money furnaces right now, but I think we all know between those two, which is more likely to get more media attention. Anyway, also on the Model 3, Elon was asked if they had plans for a Plaid Model 3, and Elon said no. All right, last big section of the interview was a lot of comments on FSD. He said right now the goal is to get to point-to-point in cities with zero interventions, and he still thinks Tesla is tracking for that this year. Quite a bit of discussion on the removal of radar. He said that that decision was controversial, but now nobody wants it back. He said that radar removal made them realize that the neural networks they were using for vision were worse than they thought they were because radar was allowing them to have a crutch. but that was never going to get them to where they needed to be, so relying on it was a mistake. He lamented a little bit that they still don't have a unified vector space like they had talked about wanting to get to at AI Day last year. So they're still working hard on that. It would seem that Elon expects that to be done very soon if he still expects full FSD this year. Then they talked a little bit about labeling. Elon noted that they've got somewhere around 1,500 human labelers, but those are amplified 100 times to 1,000 times because of auto labeling. That's dramatically increasing the number of clips that they're able to work through. And as he has said before, the reason they're able to do that is because of a lot of in-house software that Tesla themselves have built. Elon noted that as far as he can tell, no one really appears to be pursuing the same strategy for autonomy that Tesla is doing, which, of course, they believe is really the only way to accomplish it. So he said that Tesla will probably have a 5-year lead at least in autonomy once they do solve it, which again, he remains confident in. As he has said before, FSD and getting Starship to orbit are taking up the majority of his bandwidth. He said about 70% of his brain space. And remember, that's with all the issues and challenges that we have talked about with the new factories. So a lot of focus on FSD, and then just a couple of last items here. He said that they haven't really thought too much about ride-sharing pre-robotaxi. It's just too low of a priority given the other things that they have to do. And they also talked a little bit about how robotaxi fleets would eventually look. And Elon said they'll probably need to have things kind of like a shepherd to care for small fleets of vehicles, things like cleaning, general upkeep, that sort of stuff. Probably the last thing to highlight, they did talk a little bit about journalism and advertising, creating an incentive for journalists to not trash the company that is essentially paying their bills. That works against Tesla right now because Tesla doesn't do any advertising. Elon said that at some point, maybe it makes some sense to do some advertising to even just combat that. But even then, it looks like Tesla sales have not been hurt by any of this bad press so far, so maybe it's not actually worth it after all. Don't want to get into a whole debate on that. We've talked about that subject many times, just passing on those most recent thoughts. All right, next up today, we've got some reporting on Giga Shanghai that seems to have caused quite a bit of confusion, so I want to clarify what's going on here. If you've been listening closely to Tesla Daily, hopefully none of this is too surprising to you, but Reuters is reporting today that Tesla is, quote, planning to suspend most production at its Giga Shanghai plants in the first 2 weeks of July to work on an upgrade to the site, according to an internal memo seen by Reuters, end quote. So we've got that Reuters report, and then separately, we've got a report here from 42How, or shared by 42How, rather, out of China, that Tesla will stop production and renovation from July 1st to July 4th at Giga Shanghai for a line upgrade for Model Y. All right, great. So now we've got confusion. We've got people attacking Reuters, saying that that's fake news, accusing them of being misleading. But let's please use a little bit of critical thought here. And again, context from what I have previously reported, which was that this upgrade was originally planned for April. Of course, the lockdowns then happened. Tesla couldn't do it in April. They then planned to split it between May and July so as not to put all of that downtime in the second quarter. The lockdowns extended, and then Tesla just decided to move it all into July. Now, if this were only going to be a 4-day shutdown, Tesla would have just done it in May. There never would have been a planned split between May and July. Why would you split up 4 days? Doesn't make any sense. You would just do the 4 days, and then the resulting higher production output would have already made up for such a short lost period of time in the second quarter alone. So 4 days doesn't really make sense. If we look at the source material, which Gary Black already went to the trouble of translating the image for, it says, in order to cooperate with the production upgrade and transformation of the Superfactory, the whole factory needs to be powered off from July 1st to July 4th. The whole factory being powered off, that's a different thing from the entirety of the upgrade being completed. So there's nuance here. Tesla has multiple production lines at Giga Shanghai. What's likely going to happen is the entire factory being shut down from the 1st through the 4th. Then maybe for a couple of weeks, they're going to be upgrading phase 2, so the Model Y line, but perhaps still operating phase 1. And then when phase 2 is upgraded, maybe they switch. And in that case, across both lines, on average, you're going to have them shut down for a couple of weeks. So yeah, maybe the entire factory isn't shut down from July 1st through July 15th, but we still need to be accounting for 2 probably solid weeks of downtime there for July. This is what I've been reporting. This is what I've been modeling for quite some time. So believe me, I don't love being in the position of having to defend Reuters by any means, but a lot of times it just seems like the Tesla community is way too quick to write off anything that is a little bit more negative, even though this really isn't. This is exactly what we should have been expecting. Anyway, the most important part is that output is going to increase. Reuters here says that Tesla is targeting 22,000 per week after this upgrade is complete. That also lines up with other reports that we have seen. Over a full quarter, without a shutdown, so not Q3, that could be 275,000 cars a quarter, or 1.1 million a year. So, very exciting stuff, but yes, we should be expecting a little bit of a dip in production in July. The nice thing about that is that it should give Tesla suppliers time to build some backlog of inventory or make some upgrades to their production processes as well. All right, next up, we've got a couple of analyst updates. First here from Adam Jonas of Morgan Stanley. He has lowered today his price target after keeping it for so long to $1,200 per share from $1,300. He's attributing this to lower Q2 forecasts. He's expecting now 270,000 units being delivered versus 316,000 previously. I don't think it's impossible, but personally, I think that's still a little bit high. But I had to kind of laugh at the explanation here. He says, estimates from EVvolumes.com have Tesla delivering 254,000 units in Q2, but we have allowed for some modicum of upside to this estimate given the historic ability of Tesla to significantly increase production slash sales in the latter weeks of a given quarter. Jonas then talks about the split between the first 2 months of a quarter and the last month of a quarter, the percent of sales that happen in the last month, according to, again, EVvolumes. Then he cites EVvolumes estimate for the first 2 months of this quarter, and then seems to just extrapolate off those historical ranges, ignoring all the context that makes this quarter unique. So anyway, just kind of pointing this out because I think it gives maybe some good insight into how some of these numbers come to be from some analysts. Anyway, he also notes that in their model, they've increased the weighted average cost of capital to 9% from 8.5% previously. And I guess although they did lower the estimates here, as I said, he says that this is responsible for approximately 100% of the price target decline. We've also got an update today from CFRA analyst Garrett Nelson, and although he also has a $1,200 price target on the stock, a little bit different of a tone, he says that this drop in Tesla has created a quote-unquote generational investment opportunity. All right, moving on from the analyst updates, a couple more interesting things here. First, Tesla this week has been recruiting at the annual conference on computer vision and pattern recognition, CVPR. They brought the Tesla Cybertruck along, and although this is a very heavily represented conference, major companies like Google, Apple, Meta, Tesla actually has the biggest booth out of any of them. Not that booth size is the be-all, end-all of anything, but certainly Tesla commanding a lot of attention in the space, especially with the Cybertruck there. Probably a good time to echo the refrain that Tesla is not just a car company. All right, next we've got a quick pricing update. Nothing major here, but just as we had talked about last week with the price changes, we weren't sure if Tesla had raised the price on the Texas-made Model Y. Well, according to Redditor Phantom17373, it looks like Tesla has increased the base price on that base version by $2,000 up to $61,990. Obviously, it's not on the design studio yet, so it'd be nice to have some second confirmation of that, but it does seem like those price changes affected this version too. Also possibly relevant to pricing, Bloomberg last night reporting that in an effort to continue to work towards a spending deal structured off some of the pieces of the Build Back Better plan, Senate Democrats have scrapped a $4,500 bonus tax credit for electric vehicles made by domestic union labor from a possible updated EV tax credit system. So obviously I think cutting that piece out is a positive. I don't want to spend too much more time on it considering how much time we spent on this last year until and if it seems like things are a little bit further along. I don't want to get anybody's hopes up for a tax credit because I really don't know exactly what the status is right now. Personally, this seems like a very bad time to increase any incentives for electric vehicles given order backlogs and the inflation situation. But hey, if you want to push Tesla's margins to 40%, I guess go ahead. Just seems like a very poor use of resources. Yeah, maybe it helps other automakers a little bit. Maybe it trickles down into the supply chain a little bit, convinces more investment. But I don't really think those are the issues right now. So we'll see. I'll keep an eye out for any developments on that. And then last item for today, we've got an update on the Boring Company. They have submitted an application to potentially build a tunnel in the vicinity of Giga Texas. We don't know exactly what the location might be or where the tunnel might go, what the benefit of it would be. The project name is the Colorado River Connector Tunnel. So you can see on Google Maps here where that is relative to the factory. Maybe Tesla could run that under the river and over to the airport, although it's not like that's a long drive anyway. So we'll have to wait and see on that and if it even gets approved. So that's where we'll leave it for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, June 23rd episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.